The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, guys, welcome back again at Denver Pop Culture Con. And today we're sitting with Jim Beaver. You probably know him from Supernatural, and if you don't, you're a moron. So there you go.
I think idiot is the term.
I have cried during your storylines more than I would care to admit over the course of many seasons of Supernatural. What I would like to know is, what do you think drives like such a deep emotional connection from a horror/adventure show?
Well, the magic of Supernatural is that it's not just horror/supernatural adventure. It's about relationships. It's about people. And my very first convention, a group of fans surprised me by telling me that they would watch the show even if there weren't monsters. And that kind of took me aback. But the more I've been on this show, the more I've realized, yeah, this show's not mainly about monsters. They're the MacGuffin that makes the stories happen. But it's a show about relationships, and this show really does a good job of indicating the care that people have, the characters have for each other, the emotional depths and bonds that characters have together. And I think you could make a show about anything and have that element really solid, and people would watch it forever. The fact that we've got great monsters and great special effects and great creepy stunts and supernatural happenings, that's gravy.
So, having worked on Deadwood and Justified, and in a lot of ways Supernatural too, they all have like a very like Western like kind of ethos. What is it that about that kind of Western feel that draws you to those roles?
Well, I mean, I'm drawn to them in the sense that I really enjoy doing them. I enjoy being a part of that kind of show, of playing those kinds of characters. But it generally works in reverse, because I don't have a lot of choice in what I do. I mean, I can say no to things, but I don't very often, because my kid likes to eat. But I think there's a little something about my own personality, my own persona, that draws shows like that to me. Not that I'm as smart or brave or strong or adventurous as some of those characters, but generally speaking, because they're all very different characters, but they all seem cut from the same basic mold, and I think I just happen to fit that mold pretty well. And so... But it's interesting, because I'd never thought about Supernatural in those terms. But yeah, it is. None of these shows, even when they occasionally take place in cities, are city-oriented shows.
Right.
Supernatural travels all over the place, but for the most part, it has a wide-open, middle-of-nowhere kind of feel. It doesn't, it's not the West Wing. It's And there is a, I don't know, you know, Westerns were incredibly popular for many, many years, and now a lot of the energy that shaped them and that drew audiences to them has been shifted to science fiction and superhero stuff. But the appeal of people kind of on their own, going up against the elements and going up against other people who are trying to tame those same elements, I think will always be a part of storytelling. And supernatural fits in into that very well, whether you ever see anybody on a horse.
Right. I mean, it has that, like, open Midwestern feeling. You know, mm-hmm. they drive from Kansas to Iowa and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it's
they drive really fast between Kansas and Iowa and yeah. in these shows, but... anybody who's driven halfway across the country knows you can't do it during an episode.
So when, you know, as a character actor, as they say, which I think is like a weird term, you know, you fit a mold because you are who you are. It's not a thing I really embrace a lot of time, but
I don't mind the label, but it's really a nice way of saying you're not the lead.
Yeah. So as that kind of, you know, working men's actor, going from, you know, not necessarily being the lead, but being a very important part of this particular story, and then all of a sudden having, like, this amazing fan base, like, you know, I have a friend that, when I told her I was going to get to talk to you, literally screamed at the top of her lungs, you know.
Might be an ex-girlfriend, you know. Like,
how has that transition been from...
Well, you know, I at one of my first conventions again, a fan asked me if I was bothered by the fact that all these people were coming up to me and wanting to shake my hand and talk to me. And I said, look, I was in this business 36 years before anybody cared. And I'm delighted that the work I've done on the show, the work we've done creating the show, has touched so many people and touched them in a way that makes them want to connect with the actors. Not every show pulls that off. You don't see a lot of CSI conventions. nothing against CSI, but that was not, that kind of show is not aimed at the same audience. The audience that wants a show about connections. It's no fluke that probably the most famous line out of 14 plus seasons of Supernatural is "Family don't end with blood." I think that's the core of the show, and it's the core of the fan base. And so people feel like we are family to them in a way that, I mean, I've been on shows that got enormous critical reviews, including Deadwood, which is often spoken of in terms of being one of the best shows in television history. But we don't have that kind of fan base. That show didn't connect in the same way. So I love it. I'm happy. And I get to go a lot of places and meet a lot of people, which I never did on any other show.
That's cool. As an author and an actor, like, you have this drive to create things. Like, what is it that really sparked your interest in becoming a creator of art?
That's a good question. When I was a kid, I read voraciously. I still do. And I watched films voraciously as well. I got hooked in my early teens, mainly just for entertainment value, but the more I watched, the more I realized there's a whole world out there that is, to a certain extent, captured in these films and in these books, and I want to know more about it. The more I knew about it, the more I knew about the outside world beyond my own experience, the more I wanted to share my feelings about it. And I don't think there was ever a conscious place where I said, oh, I want to get into the arts, the creative arts, where I make stuff and make people think. But I look back on it and I realize that that's where the great pleasure has come from. And most of it, I just thought, wow, as a writer in particular, this would be a cool story to tell. And it wasn't some sort of big drive to do something special for the world. It was just, I thought, oh, this will be a good story, or this will be interesting to people. It's only in looking back on it that I go, you know, clearly I had a drive to connect with people and share information and insight. And to the extent I've been able to, I've been a very happy man.
It's interesting to hear, like, that your drive to make art is to connect with people, and now you have this fan base that feels so connected to you. That's success.
It is. It is. It's, I wish it paid better, but no, it's, it is success. It's, while there are lots of things I may have wanted over time that haven't happened, I'm still waiting on my first Broadway play. I'm still waiting on my first $50 million movie with my name above the title. But in terms of what I've been able to access in my life, I couldn't have asked for anything more. It's been perfect.
That's great. As we draw to the end of our short interview, I feel like I could talk to you for a really long time. But
well, same here. You're a great interviewer.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. What can we look forward to you, or look forward to from you, because I speak English, in the future?
Well, we've got another season of Supernatural. I cannot help but think I will be involved. I'll be very kicked off if I'm not. Besides Sam and Dean, Bobby is the only character who's been in every season. And I'm hoping to round things off with a nice odd number. I'm told that I will have a part in a big feature film directed by a recent Academy Award-winning director. I don't want to go any further than that, but it looks good. And it looks like I may be taking on a recurring part in a new series starting this month. But I guess, you know, all of that is within the realm of probability. None of it's nailed down yet. So.
And that sounds like one of the monsters trying to break in right now, so I'm going to wrap it up, but thank you so much for
your time. Oh, it's my pleasure.
I really appreciate it, and like I said, like, your show has made a very deep emotional connection with me and my oldest daughter and a lot of my really good friends, so thank you very much
thank
for what
you. You've done. It's my pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.